Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of Animation! Squad is torn down, man.
It's like we're limping into the studio today.
It's playoffs games. It's playoff time, baby. Just you know, your regulars are here, baby. I tell you that. We came here. We're going to always be here for y'all.
Yep.
It don't matter if we get socked out in the face and beat up, legs beat down. We're going to come through for y'all. Make sure we are here. Myself and Rob is here.
Yes.
And you know what we do. We talk shit on here and do one-off spin-offs. Talk our shit. I know a whole bunch of other stuff, man. Join that Patreon, man. Patreon.com/animation. S-H-U-N.
Yes, please.
No ho-ass Brennan. No ho-ass Ice. They out there. Ice is, called out the last minute. He's that dude that when you work at your job, you just be like, he puts a coming in 5 minutes, and be like, I think I just got sick, like, 5 minutes. That's Ice.
I got to be honest. When you said no ho-ass Ice, I was thinking, like, North Hollywood. It's like NoHo Hank, or like that's immediately where my mind went to. But
NoHo,
yes,
absolutely.
Like Brennan lives in North Hollywood, but I don't know about Ice. Anyway.
And Brennan's over. He's in the next studio over shooting on some stuff that I actually was just on too. It's going to be some dope stuff. With a very, very funny, talented Keisha E.
Yeah.
So if y'all, you know, y'all have the Kevin Stage app, make sure y'all look out for that for Black Card Revoked, right? Black Card Off Layaway. Black Card Off Layaway. You will see her. It's a very, very funny show. We'll be on there. No news, right? No news this week?
No news.
No news this week. This week we are continuing a nice, dope anime that people have recommended, Ranking of the Kings, episodes 5 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Boji, man!
Prince Boji. Best boy winner at the Crunchyroll Awards of 2021.
Probably the most adorable and most lovable protagonist in the game. And if you hate him, fuck your family. That's how I say it. If you don't like this dude as a protagonist, your mother can get kicked in the face.
People were calling Ice heartless for calling him a crybaby last episode. They were like, Ice, like, what are you...
This is a kid that's deaf, can't speak. He's considered stupid and an idiot by his town. And he's small. He's like probably like 3'1", if that.
Yeah.
And
little guy,
little
for sure.
Dude, and one of the most shat on protagonists that we've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
at least for us and the crew that's ever seen. And he'd be like, he cries too much. Here's my thing: even when he cries, he's not crying like rah! For like 5 minutes. Kind of just like some tears can shooting out of his eyes.
Yep.
A little bit of whining here and there, but a lot of times it's justified. Like he's literally, it's not like. Deku cried so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Tears, like, filling up the screen for a whole season.
He cried so hard, didn't he, like, push himself down into the pavement?
Yeah.
Like, crying
something
and
like
screaming?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... No,
oh, my God.
He's a wuss. This kid right here is literally showing you, yo, my back is against the fucking wall, and I'm going to still get it done. I'm going to still work. I promise you I can do it. Just give me a chance.
Yeah.
And, dog. So, yeah.
A lot of heart, for sure.
Yeah, no heart. I mean, his name is Ice. You think a person named Ice has a heart? It's
Ice.
Ice
Cold.
Yeah.
Ice Cold.
He's a Marion. I got an ice that my heart used to be. That's him, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, episodes 5 through 8, Rankings of the King. Rob, you got a recap for us?
I do. Let's get through it. So, as the episode starts, we see that, surprise, Boji survived, and surprise, it's because Kage has been riding in his backpack, and he has been protecting him at Bebin's request ever since he left the kingdom, which, called it, just for the record. they didn't know who to trust, so they didn't tell anybody about this, including Boji, and after a tearful reunion, Kage reveals that Bebin's plan was to have Boji train in the underworld with one of his old friends to make him stronger. So as they descend, Boji reflects on Domus's betrayal, and we get a flashback to when Daida gave him the order to kill Boji. Manipulating Domus's sense of honor, he convinces him the only way for him to prove his loyalty to his new king is to kill his brother and remove anybody that could challenge his power. In the present, Domus feels very conflicted over his actions and seems to be cracking in his sanity at this point, just like laughing slash crying as he's walking away from the fiery pit. Back with the boys, though, Kage gives Boji a crown for him to wear, maintain his rank as a prince. Things seem to be going well until they come across a skull on the ground and are soon hit by a wave of poison gas. They try to outrun it, but the gas knocks him out. In the kingdom, Daida also goes into the depths of the earth with the magic mirror. He comes to a large set of doors with two masked soldiers wielding scythes. Daida's worried, but the mirror assures him, hey, we're all loyal to your father, King Bose, King Boss. I'll call him King Bose, just what it looks like to me. And we'll help, basically, we'll help you gain power. They take him through a hall of frozen monsters, and at the very back, Daida is shocked to see that there is his father's frozen corpse just hanging up on the wall, and is even further shocked when they lower that body into a giant blade that turns the former king into a brown smoothie sludge.
Oh.
Sludge smoothie that they collect in a jar. Gross. While this goes on, Spearmaster Apios follows down the stairs, thinking back on his service to Bose. It appears that he was once weak, but Bose took him to that same frozen place where he fought a griffin in front of the same soldiers and a mysterious hooded woman. He beat the beast and became much stronger. As he marches through the frozen tomb, we see that that mysterious woman is also frozen in the ice. The ceremony with Daida continues with the soldiers heating up the jar of sludge with sunlight, and it turns into an egg, and a phoenix hatches. They behead the phoenix, drain its blood into a cup, and put its resurrection crystal in there as well.
That was a lot, bro.
It was a lot of steps.
I was like, dog, this is too much, man.
I'm too lazy for magic. And then they give it to Daida to drink, bottoms up, telling him it will grant him his father's power.
You doing it?
No. Am I drinking a smoothie made from my father and a phoenix and like some like crystal thing? That sounds like it will make you so sick.
Yeah. I feel like I'll be shitting for sure. I'll be on the toilet in about 20 minutes.
And some person in a mirror and some like masked dudes that don't talk are being like, drink it.
Yeah.
That is suspect. Anyway, he wrestles with whether to drink it or not, but decides that he wants to improve his ranking with his own power and refuses. The soldiers try to force him to drink it, but quickly kicks their asses and dumps the drink on the ground. In the underworld, Boji and Kage, still unconscious, are carried into an underground fortress by a team of knights and dumped in front of King Desha of the underworld. He recognizes they are cursed individuals, Boji being a giant robbed of his powers, apparently, and Kage, who has divine disfavor, and he says that the shadow like clan are trapped in these forms of some kind. Interested to learn more, he wakes him up. Above them, Hokuro is horrified to learn what Domas has done, challenges him to a duel. He is clearly outmatched by the sword master, but manages to land a blow on his wrist, partially severing it. Domas hits him back though, taunts him to finish cutting it off, but I mean, Hokuro just doesn't have the skill.
Do it!
In the end, Domas shatters Hokuro's sword, slices off his own hand, and walks off into the night towards the village.
I think he's going to regret this later on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, maybe I could have fixed that, could have sewed that back on. In the underworld, King Desha has heard of Boji, mocks him for his misfortunes. Kage stands up for his friend, says that, hey, we were sent here to meet with somebody to train Boji. The name started with Des something, but he can't really remember the whole thing.
Mm.
Desha reveals that, hey, the person you're looking for is me, and I'm the second ranked king in the world, leader of the underworld. Desha doesn't think that Boji is capable of much, but arranges a test, has him spar against the leader of the Knights of the Underground, the strongest order of knights in the world that guards the gates of hell from monsters entering the human world. Boji shows that he isn't strong, but is incredibly good at dodging.
Let me tell you something. Boji, Ultra Instinct. Might be better than Goku, man.
Yeah.
Ultra Instinct, he ain't got to tap into no shit. It didn't take him 565 episodes to get to it. He got it at the age of like 7, dog.
Does. He's very quick on the feet.
Yeah.
Very quick on the feet. He just needs the silver hair at this point. The knight's very impressed, but Desha is not, and says, hey, I can't train this guy. Kage says they have a letter of recommendation, hands it over, but he didn't read it. And basically whatever's on there angers Desha. He rips up the letter and tosses him out. After they hit the pavement, the two boys still refuse to give up. Kage continues to gas up Boji. Boji tries to pick up some rocks outside, you know, start growing his strength there, but he can't even pick up the smallest one. They're about to give up and walk off, but the captain of the knights stops them. Feeling pity for Boji and wanting to see him grow, he gives them back the ripped up letter, tells them, hey, this is actually for Desha's brother, the Prince Despa, who the king is super jealous of, but why he's jealous is a long story. I'm not going to get into that now.
Mm.
That's him saying that, not me.
Yeah.
The captain says, you know, hey, he should be able to train Boji. The two of them head out. excited to find out, you know, what's going to go on with this guy. Back with Dida, the mirror tells him he's already ensnared in her trap, and you can't avoid the inevitable. As Dida thinks about how he wants to, you know, live up to everybody's expectations of him, Apios enters, and the young king starts to panic. Before the spear master impales him through his throat, the mirror stops him, and he recognizes the voice of Lady Miranjo, who is the mysterious hooded woman who gave him his strength. Apios apologizes to the mirror, and she whispers her true intentions to him. As he listens in shock, Dida sneaks up with one of the soldier's scythes, but before he can strike, Apios pledges his loyalty to him, and while Dida wonders if he should trust him, he sucker punches him and knocks him unconscious. Good way to start the trust.
Man.
Later, the soldiers collect the spilled drink while Miranjo explains to Apios that she wanted to do this all sooner but couldn't with Bebin around, still protecting Dida. But now that Apios has killed him, he's out of the way. As the soldiers start to pour the drink down Dida's throat, Miranjo confesses that he, you know, has the right to be suspicious, as the drink will not increase his powers, as she said, but do something else entirely. As Miranjo recites a resurrection spell, Dida's body convulses and he comes to rest. The boy opens his eyes, maybe no longer himself. Meanwhile, Boji and Kage look around the underworld city in awe, searching for Despa. They see lots of people and monsters, and even a statue of Desha with its face all bashed up. After searching for a while, they come across a fancy house where they knock on the door. Despa, who looks much different than his brother, answers. They explain their situation to Despa, and he agrees that his brother can be quite mean since he's jealous that Despa has everything he doesn't.
He looks beautiful, man. Despa looks...
He's got the model looks.
Hey, man. He's a handsome guy, and his brother is a pretty... I'll say he's an ugly motherfucker, man. He's sheep for sharp. He's just an ugly, hideous
teeth.
Man. And I get it, man. When you're the more handsome brother, the other one's going to be jealous of you.
Oh, yeah. He's just like, yeah. In fact, he hates his own face so much, he's like, he's the one that bashed up that statue.
Yeah.
He bashed up his own statue because he doesn't like looking at his face. Still, Despa says, hey, Boji, you do have potential. I can make you stronger as long as you're brave enough to push through the adversity. So after they cough up enough money from Bebin and Kage's stolen loot, he does agree to train Prince Boji. Shortly after, Despa takes Boji's hand to sense his abilities, finds that he has zero physical strength, like none. He's like, I can't increase what's not there. But there are other ways to make you stronger. Boji and Kage celebrate, but Despa goes out to the bar, spends some of that money, comes back all beat up, but promises the other guy looks worse. Instead of explaining what happened, he tells the boys to get to bed. The training and cleaning will start in the morning. Boji wakes up early the next day, makes breakfast for his friends, and even though he thinks it's delicious, the other thinks it smells terrible, it tastes awful.
Yeah.
And Despa even warns Kage that Boji has giant blood, and even though he's small, you know, he can basically eat all sorts of dangerous things, including poison, and he'll be fine. And if they want to survive, they have to stop Boji from doing any more cooking. So Kage ends up taking over much of the cooking and cleaning chores. Next, Despa takes Boji to his armory, tells him to select a weapon that will help him both grow in person as a warrior. And after taking a few things that don't work, Boji settles on a weapon that we cannot see. Despa says it's the perfect choice. From there, Boji trains in secret for a week as Kage cooks and cleans. Every night he comes out of the training grounds, exhausted, falls right to sleep. Kage asks Despa why it needs to be kept in secret. He replies it's important for the training that he just, you know, hey, listen, this needs to be closed doors, no outside people, just support your friend if he needs it. This goes on for some time with Boji studying and training while Kage cleans until one day there's a huge boom in the training room. Kage goes to see what's up, sees through the door, the crack of the door, that Boji has split. Apparently, has split a huge rock in half.
Was he standing there shirtless?
I couldn't tell. I didn't register a shirtless to me, but he could have been.
Yeah, he was standing there like he was kind of huffing and puffing too, like he was working. So
yeah,
I'm hyped.
I want to see Boji get the work in,
yeah,
for sure. In the kingdom, Dida, or at least his body, walks through the castle and sits on the throne as he says aloud that he has sacrificed another son. And in the last episode, we start with a flashback as young Bose kneels before a demon, the one that we saw that emerged from his mouth after his death. And Miranjo, standing by Bose's side, translating for him. Bose basically asks to become the strongest man in the world, but the demon says, I can only give you strength by taking it away from a living relative. Bose says he has none, and the demon's just like, well, you could always have a baby. So Bose then goes out, finds another giant woman who happens to be the strongest woman in the world. He proposes to her, and after he proves his strength to her by beating her in a fight, she agrees. Many years later, Bose is near death fighting monsters when he heals and gets a surge of strength. And as he kills his enemies, he realizes that his child must have been born. And sure enough, his wife has given birth to a tiny Boji, sapped of all the strength that would have gone to him. Still, the mother loves the young boy, and whether it be out of shame or guilt, Bose splits a rock, declares he'll start a kingdom, and says he wants to make sure his son will have whatever his heart desires.
I gotta say this real quick. That had to be the easiest childbirth.
Oh, yeah.
That had to be the easiest. They're both, like, what, 30 feet tall, whatever
huge.
It is? Boji is about a foot.
It's like the size of a bean.
Yeah. She probably didn't even know she gave birth. She was just sitting there, yeah, man, what? Your baby's out. Oh, shit. He came out? I didn't even feel it.
He's talking like the size proportions of what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure she would have noticed.
Yeah, there's no way.
I don't know. In the present, though, it is revealed that Bose has taken over, dyed his body to live his life again.
You son of a bitch.
He asks Miranja then to show him who the strongest in the world is now other than him, and the mirror shows him a face that we don't see, but he does laugh. After he says it's time to assassinate his second wife, the mother to Dida, Queen Hailing. And at that moment, Hokuro delivers news to Hailing and Dorsh that Domas killed Boji. We see in a flashback that after the fight between him and Domas, the Swordmaster decided to go on the run, as his life is probably forfeit. He tells Hokuro to do the same, but instead Hokuro promises to return, tell the queen what happened, and she repays him by sentencing him to death. The new Bose sits on the throne room, and Miranjo presents 4 hellhounds to him that she says will kill the queen. Bose sends Apios to fight them to test their strength, and the Spearmaster is outmatched very quickly here. However, Bose jumps in, wanting to fight again after so long, and proves that he still has much of his strength, killing one of the hounds in a single blow. So we get a little bit of power scaling there. We see where people are lining up against each other. Outside, Hailing watches as Hokuro is about to be killed, but before it happens, Domas leaps into action to save him, feeling guilty for what he's done. He fights off the guards, manages to get Hokuro over his shoulder, but before he can run, Bose lands in front of him and quickly puts him on his ass. Hailing screams to have them both killed, but Bose stops them, saying, hey, Boji is still alive, and it was his face that he saw in the mirror. So elsewhere, we get a flashback of how Bebin rose up through the ranks of the army, saving the three-headed snake and winning the respect of Bose. Now, however, he's healing from his spear wound as a three-headed snake nurses him back to health. Back with Bose, everybody is shocked to hear that Boji is still alive and training in the underworld. Bose then frees Domas, telling him he's banished, but whispers something in his ear before basically telling him to leave. As he walks off, Hokuro follows. The two wonder how he could know that Boji is alive, and Domas reveals that it's Bose now controlling Dida's body, to both of their horror, but he also told him something else. Domas basically that there's a gate to the underworld somewhere under the castle, and Bose has determined, he's tasked him with closing it. So Domas says, like, all right, now for me to do this, I had to do 2 things. First, I'm going to get my hand back somehow. He regrets it. And then also he's going to train Hokuro in the way of the sword, and then the two of them will go under the castle and close it. Hokuro can't forgive Domas for what he did to Boji, but agrees to help, if only so he can become stronger. In the underworld, Boji and Despa emerge from the house and tell Kage that Boji has fully mastered his training. And at the castle, Bose reveals his identity to Dorsh and Hailing. He also whispers something to the Shield Master. And looking on, Apios and Miranja wonder what it could be that he's saying to this guy. Could just be telling him, hey, I'm Bose at this point, but yeah. Maybe he's got some plans of his own that he's trying to keep from Miranjo. Finally, though, we see Dida lost somewhere between realms in a void, and he remembers only that Apios sucker punched him, but does not know where he is, and he wanders off desperate to find his way out. And that's where we finish episode 8 of Ranking of Kings.
Thank you for that recap, Rob.
Yes, sir.
I feel bad for Dida, bro, because I feel like whatever's revealed where the hell he's at is going to suck. And I don't even know if he's going to get out of there. And I feel like, I guess we can talk about that in our predictions or whatever the case may be. But thank you again. Question time, man. Ice not being here, but Ice gave us his questions and his scores of that like that, so we'll get to that at some point too. Mm-hmm. First question, man, after seeing what Bosey, whatever the fuck his name is. He's King Bitch. That's what I'm going to call him. Because, dog, first question. Let's get to the first question. Is King Bitch the worst anime father we've ever seen? Man, bro. At first, I had to think about it, and then I was just like, he is. Mm. You fucked up both your sons. At least with Shao Tucker, He fused his daughter into a dog.
And his wife.
And his wife. Ooh, shit, huh?
Yeah, because he had that other experiment that didn't live very long, and you find out later that's his wife.
Well, that's his wife, though. Which is my father? Which is my anime father? Which is my anime husband's here.
He's a bad anime husband, for sure.
Yeah, if he was to my anime husbands and fathers, he'd be at the top. But right now, to my anime fathers. King Bo's dog, are y'all serious? Yeah. You sacrifice your son so he doesn't have pretty any powers, but it seems like that might have affected his hearing, his speaking, so he's clearly, he's deaf. He can't speak. He's small. He's not strong. Essentially, he's weak in almost every aspect except defense, in that sense, or evading, or whatever, in that sense.
Yeah.
And then you do this. You die because probably that's technically probably a sin. Whatever. I feel like that's karma in that sense.
Yeah.
Or whatever
I feel like whatever it was that killed him early is definitely like some karma shit.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, bro. So he had a plan though. Yeah. Like, all right, cool. I have this person. They know what to do here, so I can always come back in this. You know, if I have another son. And that was, I think this is all thought out. I think he was like, all right, cool. I'm going to have two kids. Dude's for him. Oh, shit. Well, I'm going to have one kid. This happened. Oh, this one's going to happen to me. My karma. Okay, cool. What I'm going to do is have the second kid get put into his body, and then I can be able to fix all this.
Yeah.
That was what I think he did, and he executed that shit. And that sucks, bro.
Yes.
And then I think, and honestly, I think he wants to kill his second wife. I think he killed his first wife for sure.
Oh, he's not above it.
Yeah.
He absolutely could have killed Boji's mom.
Yeah, she couldn't have died from like no childbirth shit. Boji this big,
she was fine.
Yeah,
she was doing great after the birth. She was like, "Hey, come on in."
I'm sure she's shitted out stuff bigger than Boji. So, dog, yeah. To me, he as of right now, and Brennan said some other shit to me, but he didn't spoil anything. He just like, he's terrible. But right now, he might have taken the place of Shao Tucker as worst anime father of all time. Mm. From that I've seen. I haven't seen all anime, of course. What do you think, Rob?
I can certainly see where you're coming from. I think for me, it might still be Shao. And I'll tell you why. Because right now, I'm still a little confused about King Bo's. And the one thing that confuses me, I think he's terrible.
Mm.
But this whole thing of after the birth of Boji and he runs out there and he splits the rock and he's like, I'm going to make sure my son has everything he ever wants, is confusing to me. Because I'm like, do you give a shit about Boji or not? Like, was that a guilt complex? You know, like, I don't quite understand all of his designs and plans yet.
Mm.
So that's not a lot of it. That's not to say that, like, oh, that totally makes up for it at all.
Right, right.
It's less that he is actually kind of good and more that, like, I think Shao Tucker's actually just that bad.
Mm.
And the reason is he sacrificed everything for so much less because for King Bose, he did all that to give himself like a second life starting all over again to secure himself a further king, like to continue his reign, number one. To get to be the number one king, I assume, so he can get whatever treasure from this vault. Again, I'm not saying it's worth it, not saying he should have done it, but that's what he's doing it for. Shao Tucker killed his wife and then his daughter.
Yeah, but the wife thing is not a bad thing because it's my father's here.
He killed his daughter. He fused his daughter with a dog for like a license renewal. He's going to have to do that again in like a year or two.
But here's the thing, Rob. Your daughter, daddy's little girl. Dog, man's best friend.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you want to put those two together?
Oh, my God. Are you defending Shao Tucker right now? And he did it for nothing. Like, he did it to keep his menial job so he could keep paying taxes.
You know what's funny? The fact that he did it for that much less, it's just like, just to get a renewal of a license.
He didn't even do it to, like, get a better job or improve his station. He did it just to keep his life the fucking same. And it's for a test he'll have to do again in not that long a time.
Let me tell you something. I guarantee you, he would if he had the chance, he'd look for another woman to have a child with. So he'd do it again.
100%.
Like 100%. Yeah.
He's going to be out there like, you know, I'm getting kind of old. Maybe I could adopt.
Yeah.
You know? No, he is. No. Shao Tucker, I think, is still number one for me. But listen, King Bo's, he's making a strong argument. There's plenty more of the show left. He could take the spot.
Yeah, bless you, man. I honestly think that it's not over yet. I think there's some larger stuff at play, and he's just getting started on Shitty Dads.
Yeah.
And he did it in the first 10 episodes.
Yeah.
So we're not even going to get, at least with Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, we had to get through some seasons to get to see how bad this guy was.
Right.
We're about to go through a season to see how shitty this guy is.
Season plus, possibly. I mean, we don't know
possibly.
Where this ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we haven't finished it up. Ah, man. All right. Second question up. So we have Dida. We gave Dida a hard time and even gave him the Gabby Award nomination. What are your thoughts on him now after a few more episodes, Rob?
I still don't like him.
Oh, no.
I still don't like this kid.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to do it through his own power. Like, and so I got to give him, it's like very minor props for like not taking the drink because he wanted to prove it through his own power. Mm. This dude still called his older brother's teacher into his office and was like, "You got to kill my brother." He wouldn't even do it himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's doing this like snake in the grass stuff, trying to like quite literally having all these other people go after his defenseless brother and still just like, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is I hope the show gets to at this point is that if where we're going to is a face off between Boji and Bose and Dida's body, Boji's going to have to beat the fuck out of Dida, and Dida's going to get back into his body, and he's going to have to thank him for it.
Yeah.
Thank you for beating the ever-loving shit out of me so that I could get my body back. Thank you so much, Boji, and I really want that to happen, that he's going to beat him within an inch of his life,
yeah,
and then Dida's going to have to come back. That's what I want out of this anime at some point.
I feel what you're saying with that. I just feel like Boji is not going to do that from what we've seen from the type of person that he is.
Yeah.
He just seems like such a loving character, and that I just don't see him. I just see him probably being like, "Yo, maybe if he finds out, it might piss him off." But I just see him being like, "Just like, yay, man, I just want you to be my brother," or whatever the case may be, and then him getting that. But I'm with you. I respect what Dida did in the sense of like not taking a drink. But yeah, it's still the same energy for you, bro. Like I don't fuck with you, and you're just like your dad. You're selfish. You wanted what you want. I think you're willing to sacrifice your family too, just like your dad. So both of y'all, he gave birth a fuck boy, gave birth to a fuck boy. It's just like that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. He had one good son, that was Boji, and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, whoever the animator of the show is, if you're willing to animate me for, I got $200, bro. If you're willing to animate me for $200, we put in your show, animate me down there so I can run the fade with Dida and King Bosey, man. I'm willing to run the fade with him, bro.
Are we rescinding the Gabby Award nomination for Dida, or do you think that's still on the table?
Nah, it's still on the table for me.
Okay.
As of right now, I think this journey is about to humble him.
Yes, definitely.
This is about to be character growth at its finest, what we're going to see from him. And he's going to grow, and he's probably going to end up being on his brother's side at this point.
Right.
Brennan just popped in, y'all.
Oh, we do have Brennan.
Let Brennan answer the first question that he missed.
Okay.
The first question was, is King Bosey, or Boss, whatever his name is, the worst anime father ever?
Hold on. I think you're coming through. Want to give him your mic?
Oh, he's not coming. Is he coming through yet or no?
Yeah. What's up,
is
y'all?
Is he on?
I'm not getting him in the headphones yet.
No?
No.
What's up, y'all? I'm out here filming a show. That's why, you know, we're filming a show in the studio, so I didn't get to be a part of this. But is he the worst anime dad ever? Now, I'll talk to both of you guys about this separately, mm-hmm. I believe, is that he definitely rivals As Bad As It Gets. But the thing is, you guys also don't know the full story yet.
No,
you,
we don't.
You haven't gotten to it. But from what we've seen thus far, I would say I don't know much worse you could do. You know what I'm saying?
It's up there.
Like an unborn, your unborn son. To put curse upon him before, and then purposely having him. It's like, oh, the first child that I will have, I will take the power from him. And then go and proceed to have a child.
Yeah.
That is as low as I can imagine it getting, outside of possibly turning your child into a homunculus.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, that
we did
right
talk
there,
about that.
I'm like, the child at least got to live. You know, that's the only argument I can make of why he's not the worst. Because the homunculus died.
Yeah.
And it died.
She got
really
put out of her misery.
It was a sad, terrible death. There was no way to live for it. Now, we have a child that was born that was dumb and deaf and dumb.
Yep.
And he's living his life.
Chimera, sorry. She wasn't turned into a homunculus. She was turned into a chimera.
You're right. Thank you. Chimera. Thank you. I apologize. Thank you for that. Either way, not an ability to live in a very sad way. Whereas this child was born with just disabilities. That's like, all right, I'm gonna make the best of what I got. I'm gonna live the life, and may or may not prosper. We don't know yet, right? So I would say at the moment he's ranking as second worst anime dad of all time.
He's up there.
That's where I'm at.
Top three.
Number two. I'll say it right now. Who else you got above him?
Shinji's dad, maybe.
But Shinji still got to be like up until the point where he
got to be what?
Up until the point where he re-met his dad, he was a kid, regular kid.
He didn't seem like he was having that great of a time.
He wasn't, but at the same time, it's not like his dad took away his ability to hear. It's not like his dad took conformed him into another creature so that he can barely survive and then get killed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's a terrible thing to do to a child, but that's not number two. Mm. You can't put that above. You can't put him above either one of those other things, in my opinion. Go ahead, make me an argument.
I'm just saying, Boji had a much nicer life than Shinji did.
But
he did, technically.
But the thing is, he did. I'll agree with that. But he also never heard a damn thing in his life because of his father. You know what I'm saying? He made the best of what he had. Mm. Shinji just didn't choose to do that, to be fully honest. Shinji was just like, I'm sad about everything regardless of what's going on. And Boji was just like, I just see the glass is half full. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what it is, I'm the smallest motherfucker in this town, even though I'm a giant. You know, like, I can't hear shit, but I'm still going to communicate.
He would have lived a cushy life regardless.
I mean, he's literally royalty.
Oh, yeah, you know that's what I'm saying.
So, and his dad felt bad, too. That's why he treated him the way he did. He was like, you know, I'm going to be so nice to this kid because I took all your power and all your ability to hear and all your size.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Shot Tucker's still my number one.
This King Boss, Bose, whatever his name is, he's number two. That's all I'm saying.
All right. I'm not gonna necessarily
is this still
like.
Off?
No, that's on.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, I think it's a legit argument.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I honestly think if you interchange them, I won't even necessarily fight you into interchanging. But yeah, they're the top two worst. Unless I want to see somebody who's worse. I want to know if an anime that we didn't see, just give us a scene where this father was worse than any other father.
Yeah.
Because these two just seem like the most horrible.
Oh, wait, hold on. Shout out Sir Spectacular. Thank you so much. Wait until you guys see what happens in Workplace Comedy Season 2 with my character. Because Rob came up with such a good... By the way, if you guys didn't know it, Rob wrote Workplace Comedy.
Shout out to Rob.
With other people.
No, you were you were a huge part of writing that show. Yeah. Tell me you weren't.
I was.
Yeah, and producing it, right?
Yeah.
Huge part. It would not have happened without you.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
And also, never mind. You can get off your thing.
Just take your damn flowers.
I'll take the flowers. Thank you very much. But you were about to give me flowers, then push me in front of a bus.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, we're doing that. Season 2, wait till you guys see. I was like, man, I sure wish I could be more involved. And they even asked me not to be as involved in Season 1 to get somebody else some shine. And I was like, that's no problem. I'll step back. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we got you on Season 2. And did we get me on Season 2, Rob?
We did. In my defense, you know whose idea that was?
Was it Tony?
What do you think?
I do. Yeah. I do think it was Tony's idea.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Tony Valentino or Tony Baker?
Valentino.
The real question is, did you fight it?
Not one bit.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, sounds good.
That's a funny idea. Yeah, wait until you guys see what happens in Workplace Comedy 2.
We'll
I mean, Workplace Comedy Season 2 and what my role is. Because I'm going to be in every single episode. Don't you think, Rob?
Hey, speaking of writing, we got a lot of writing to do before we get
And I'm going to be in, apparently I'm going to be in every fucking episode. Yeah, y'all look at Rob. Look at the face he's making right now.
Yeah, your emoji's hilarious. You see your karate emoji they put in there?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yo, look what King Mike Hall put, bro.
You got the gi? The gi with the black belt?
No. Put it up.
All in the bottom.
No, scroll up.
Scroll up?
To where Mike Hall, his other emojis.
Oh, the flowers?
No, yeah. No. Right above that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Damn. Mike, no.
He's got
the dancing woman and a plus a dog.
That's
why did you pick the dancing?
That's rough. That's rough. No pun intended.
I'm hurt. Oh, that's funny. Hey. I get it. That's rough. Yeah. This guy.
Oh, hey, oh God.
Comedy right now here.
Yeah, that's good.
And also, real quick, the last thing I'm going to say is what I'm doing is producing a show today. It's called Black Card Off Layaway.
Yes.
Season 2.
Yep.
Which the production value has gone up substantially, as I'm sure you both can attest to.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And we had Keenan. He features as a guest star in one of the episodes. And man, does he have a good time. Huh, Keenan?
Oh.
Huh? Wait until his episode comes out, guys. Keenan had himself a fucking time. Look at this happiness right here. We could just eat you up. You know what I'm saying, Keenan?
I feel like Brennan had a part of this, being like, hey.
No, I was just like, this Keenan will be perfect for this episode. That's exactly. I'm 100% the one who cast you for that episode.
Dog.
Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. And I had a great time, but it's just like, I can't say what happened because I want to give it up, but yeah.
Yeah, man. Good just time.
Stay tuned, everybody.
A lot of wonderful content coming just for you guys.
Kevin
really
on Stage Studios app. Check it out.
Yeah, season one was legit. It was. It was
yeah,
good.
Wait until you see season two. The level of legitness is next level for season two.
CP's
close.
Episode is great, too.
Yo, yeah, CP. Yeah, we got comedian CP on there. So I'm sorry I'm distracting from the episode, guys, but I'm sure people like. Do y'all mind me doing this? I feel like a terrible person right now.
No, you're good.
Yeah, you don't mind me?
Right. Yeah, no, you keep going.
All right, cool. Well, actually, that's all I had. Let's go on to the next question, guys. All
right, what else we got?
I got one more question. I got to get back over there.
All right, all right, so in this show, we I feel like we kind of seen allies kind of turn to enemies, enemies turn to allies, or they flip over and stuff here and there. Has an ally ever turned into your enemy? Mm. Right, you can go first, Brennan. Since
I want to get Rob's actually.
Okay,
I need time because I got to think about it. Okay. Nothing jumps to mind.
I got one. Unless you want to go first, Keenan.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it's part of the reason why I moved to LA. There was a person. Yeah, there's a person who convinced me. And the thing is, it's one of the things I go back and forth in my head with. Quite often in my life is actually, you know, was this person my ally or my enemy? Because this person lied to me about his health condition. He told me he had cancer. So I ended up financially supporting this brother. You know the story.
I do.
I ended up financially supporting him and buying him medication, quote unquote, and also helping him get out to LA from Detroit because he claimed he had people here to find out on a move here that, you know, I was homeless and he had people. I didn't. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. And he pretty much took full advantage of my kindness and my openness and my heart for quite some time. But at the same time, I look back and I'm like, I wouldn't have come out here. It's a possibility I might not have come out here if it wasn't for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm like, he originally felt like a friend because when I met him, he's very impressive. He's actually the person that taught my brother how to sing. And if you can hear Alonzo sing.
You can sing.
This brother is talented.
He's got a voice.
Go get his album.
Yeah, Alonzo, Symmetry, S-I-M-I-T-R-E. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
My twin brother sings. He can kill it. It's amazing. Wait, what's his name, Brennan? I like to have a chat with him. Oh. I'll say it. I don't give a shit. His name is Ken Anderson. Like, you're not going to find him. His name is too similar, too familiar.
Yeah,
but that was his name. I don't really care. He still is in LA. It's funny. I actually saw him pop up on a live Instagram for Black Lives Matters Los Angeles. Like, I was literally just like scrolling because I followed him, and then they were doing like a concert thing, and he's a musician. So it showed up, and this nigga is sitting here playing the piano and singing. And I'm just like, I thought he disappeared. I hadn't even seen him. He dropped off all his social media for like 7-8 years. I mean, it was a long time since I seen him. Then he just on Black Lives Matter just playing. I was like, get the fuck out of here. But either way, he's one of the big reasons why I moved to LA when I did. Mm-hmm. Because he made me believe that I was going to have support when I got here, which I did not.
Yeah.
But he also is a person that introduced me to the person that got me my first job in production. You know what I'm saying?
So is he an enemy?
That's what I'm saying. That's I don't know. That's what makes it really hard. It's like what he took from me to give me what I got and what he did to me.
You're here because of him. You're in this production and meeting Tony V because of him.
Well, I mean, that's the part of life that's like no regrets. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
I don't have any regrets about it. But at the same time, he definitely lied to me, stole from me and cheated. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, he's a piece of shit.
Those are things that enemies do.
Very true.
You know, but he also introduced me to the opportunity inadvertently because I was giving him opportunity to live. And I was like paying for his life, you know, and chauffeuring him around. And like I was doing everything for this brother. So it's like I had to meet the people he's around. And that's just how it happened. You know what I'm saying? So that's for me. That's like if I had to answer that question, I'd say this guy right here was real tough.
That's hard to top, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't have anything. Like, I'm sitting over here ragging my brain.
Maybe this might
like,
help you come up with something, too, because I was thinking that this is count, but it does count, I guess.
Yeah.
You can use an ex.
Okay.
So one of my exes I thought was always by my side, had my back. Well, I was deeply in love with that I was going to marry. Cheated, but not only did she cheat, she cheated with somebody that I knew. She cheated with somebody that she said she would never mess with again because it was an ex of hers.
Yeah. Oof. That's rough.
And then...
Wait, so how did you know him?
I knew him from high school.
Were you friends?
We weren't friends like that. So that's why I was able to somewhat not eat that in a sense. I was still like, yo, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets worse. She ended up sleeping with a good friend of mine. I used to walk to school with every day in 11th grade. Oof. I used to walk to school with him or my brother would go pick this guy up every single day my whole 11th grade year. He was on the basketball team with me. And this happened years. She ended up, after we had kind of like messed around and we stopped messing around, she slept. But this is what happened. He DM'd me one day. This is after me and her kind of started, like we were still messing around, but we went, I guess, officially together. We would still sleep together. He DM'd me and said, hey, man, old girl, Oh, girl, don't be giving me head, man. How she be giving you head, right? How do I get her to give me head?
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Fuck, man. That
she's talking to him about you.
Yeah.
While fucking him.
Yeah.
And he assumes it's going both ways because that's why he's open and feeling confident of doing
to approach
that.
You.
Yeah,
to
said,
approach
hey, man. You. And I said, dog, I was with her for like 4 years. We did like everything. He's like, you got any advice so I can so I can get some hands? Like,
did you give me any advice?
I said, bro, stop hitting me up, dog.
Do not talk to me
about
this.
He was like, oh, my bad, bro. My bad.
I know I'm terrible, but I'm like, Keenan, pull her up. Let me see.
I can't right now.
I want to. I know you can.
Where's the thing? She's put on some weight.
That makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Huh?
That makes you feel good, doesn't it?
You hear that laugh? He didn't want to laugh. He didn't even want to laugh on that. He just let it out. Thanks for letting that out, Keenan.
Bro. Hey. Hey, man. I'm not going to lie. I just said I feel good at his laugh, man.
That was the most sinister laugh I've ever heard you do.
Oh, my God.
Was that not the most sinister
that
laugh?
That was truly like the demon on the show. Just
hey, man. It is with it. Rod, what you got, man?
I have nothing that measures up to those two stories. I don't have anything that I can think of, honestly. I wish I had something. I'm not going to come up with anything that comes close to those levels.
All right, well, I got to get going, guys. I really appreciate you guys being patient with me, just popping in for a little bit. I love you both.
Love you
guys, everybody, Animation Squad. I plan to be back next week. So let's get it. All right.
All right.
All right. Peace.
All right, y'all.
Good luck out there.
I felt like Amir was looking at me like, he's keen as a son of a bitch, man. Just... I ain't the evil one, Amir. That was her. Look what she did. All I did was laugh at her putting on weight. Shit hit the gym, motherfucker. Next question. Whatever respect Amir had for me is gone, bro. It's out of here. It's gone. I'm sorry. Hey, man, I'm sorry, bro.
Fleeting.
All right, next question. It seemed like, is it APs?
APs?
APs? I don't know how to say his name. It seemed like APs was fighting for Boji, but was only working for King Bosi. At this point, who do you think he still works for? Is he on Boshi's side or not?
I think no. Like the snake, at this point, like I'm one of the things that I'm most curious about is to find out who is actually in Boji's corner.
Yeah, because
this three-headed snake was just like, hey, listen, there's people out there that still care for you.
Yeah,
and one of the people that I immediately was just like, I don't know if he's actually out here for Boji was Bebin, but he seems to be the one that's really pulling up for him at this point. Like,
yeah.
He gave him the letter. He basically told Kage to help him out. I mean, he was the one that was watching him fight against Daida and was just like, he's fighting dirty. So immediately I was thinking like, okay, he's not for Boji. But at this point, he might be the only person that Boji still has in his corner.
Let me ask you this. The snake part with Boji, did that happen before Bebin got killed or after Bebin got killed?
When he was like dodging the snakes, you mean?
No, when he was talking to the snakes and he told him that there's somebody in your corner, there's somebody actually here to help you, people are actually here on your side.
That might have been before he got stabbed by APS. Because, I mean, he got stabbed, but I mean, it didn't kill him, I guess.
So I feel like those snakes knew that Bebin was on Boji's side.
I think so.
And they were just like, hey, trust me, there's people that got your back.
Right.
And it made us think that we thought it was APS because of what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think Daida's mother, the queen, I think she's on his side.
Yeah, for sure.
Not like, because she was, you know, when they found out he got killed or whatever, she was hurt.
She was not happy.
Yeah, she was mad. She was
lashing out.
Yeah, so I think... You know, of course she loves her son, and of course she was like, you know, I want my son to be king, but she's like, she's not necessarily that evil of a person in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially, it was a bad look for her, like, off the bat, basically calling that vote to have Boji, you know, have her son take over for Boji.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I think, while it was shitty, it might have been shitty for the right reasons, because at the end of the day, her reasons were... You know, obviously she fears about like the perception of her kingdom if they have a weak king, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what she sees without context is a devil emerge from her dead husband's mouth, perch on his chest, point at Boji, point at himself, and then start cackling and fucking disappear. Like that, she at that point, she's just like, I don't know what that means, but it's not good.
Yeah. What do you think that means at this point? Do you have an idea, do you think?
It's got to be some sort of vendetta about, like, you know, you and me are going to tangle, or, like, you and me have, like, unfinished business. Because clearly they're connected. The demon robbed Boji of his strength to give to his father. So there might be some sort of, like, karmic justice that's on the way of just, like, hey, you robbed your son of your strength. Maybe that's what this is all building up to at this point, is there's some sort of karmic justice for Boji, where he'll beat Bose at some point.
That's what I think,
maybe even helped by the devil. Maybe that's what is going to happen down in the underworld. The devil's just like, hey, to, you know, this is the be careful what you wish for part is, I'm going to give you something else to take out your dad. I don't know. Who do you think is on Boji's side at this point? Anybody else we haven't talked about?
We haven't talked about.
Because, I mean, of the other characters, like, there's Dorsh, who's the shield master, but he hasn't really done anything. We know that the prime minister, I think, voted for, or it wasn't the prime minister, like, somebody else voted for Boji to be king.
Yeah.
We don't know who.
I forgot. Yeah. I think the dude that is going to help out, that cut the dude's arm, but then cut all the way off.
Oh, yeah, Hokuro.
Yeah, Hokuro, I think he's still on his side.
For sure.
I'm not fully sold on AP, maybe he's not. Maybe he's doing whatever the king wanted, and now the king is back. He's just like, whatever you need me to do, I'm doing. Because you technically made me strong in who I am today.
I think that's part of it, because, too, when he's about to kill Daida, he tells Amir, I'm doing it because it was King Bose's will to have Boji on the throne. So the only reason, he's not doing it out of love for Boji. He's doing it because he was thought that was his king's wish.
Yeah, and his loyalty is to him. You made me strong. You got me to who I am today. Right. So I owe you everything. So everything other than that, I think the queen is on his side. And the people that we already obviously know who's on his side is on his side. But besides that, I feel like maybe some more characters are going to come into play at some point that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And they'll be, maybe these other kings from other kingdoms. Maybe some of these people didn't like King Bose like that.
I can see that.
And being like, yo, that's his son. He's going back over there. What does he need? I'll give him a little something. I'll give him whatever I can. He needs a sword. He can use my sword. These swords don't break, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I can see that kind of happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. next question. This is kind of a dark question here, man. This is from Ice. If you died, which relative body would you take over?
I genuinely don't know. And, like, this isn't, like, I'm going to say this. I don't mean it as an insult. I swear to God. I can't think of one family member whose body I'd want more than my own. And, like, it's not, like, again, I don't mean that as an insult, but I'm just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good. Like, I you know. But, like, for the sake of the exercise, I got to have a cousin out there who's just, like, we're similar build. I got more hair than a lot of my cousins, to be quite honest with you.
Everybody else is kind of balding or bald?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Oh, man.
A lot of them. I'm sure
bald
I got
bald Rob, bro, or cul-de-sac Rob? Cul-de-sac Fonda, bro? Oh, that'd be hilarious.
I don't know. I'll stick with a cousin. I'll say my cousin Brian. Sorry, Brian. Love you, Brian. Not that he necessarily listens to this. He's got a great wife, great kid, but he and I were born around the same time.
Mm.
We're a similar age. We were pretty close growing up, and I think, if anything, we have a similar build, so it wouldn't be much of an adjustment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't be like, I've got to totally learn something new.
Mm.
It'd be like, all right, well, we used to get mistaken for each other as kids.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm just like, all right, if anything, it's just an even trade, maybe.
Yeah.
At that point, you know?
For me, I actually just saw this guy in New York this past, like last month. And I mean, probably my cousin. I was going to say my brother. My brother's a little sloppy, out of shape, you know, smart guy, but, you know, if he was in shape, I would have picked my brother. But my cousin Dan, he's in shape. You know, he weight trains. He's essentially, you know, trying to bodybuild. Really, really smart. Good kid. He's in the anime. I feel like I'm not losing much. I feel like I'm almost myself in him, in a sense.
Yeah.
I feel like he's probably one of my closer cousins in that sense because of that. But, like, I feel like we are very similar in a lot of cases. I think there's some probably points of our mentality that's a little bit different. But for the most part, even talking to him again, I was like, shit, we're, like, a lot of stuff that like we kind of have a very similar mindset towards, or we kind of think the same on.
Yeah. Yeah, so similar.
Yeah, it's very even trade. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I'm not. And I guess I'm technically getting a better body in that sense, physically.
I guess so. Yeah, there you go.
And I don't know. It'd be kind of weird, but he already knows my lady. Like they went to school together. They went to high school together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they went to high school in Maryland together. So it's
crazy.
I had to be like, hey man, you know, what's up, Bob? You know, I can come back, maybe slip in there. I don't know. And I'll be looking at my lady sideways, but like, oh, you was fucking with my cousin this whole time. He was always feeling
him. Wait a minute.
It is what it is, man. Yeah. I just have to eat that at that point. But yeah, it'll probably be my
cousin.
At
that point, you both have a secret.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll probably be my cousin, Dan. That's what I'm thinking right now. Next question, man. If there, this kind of, I guess, goes from the pairs of like the last question a little bit. If there was a gift that you really wanted, and as we saw with King Bose, you know, he sacrificed his son for, you know, a gift. You don't have to sacrifice and kill him, of course. Mm-hmm. But they will, I guess they would essentially be a Boji. Is there a relative that you would sacrifice so you can get your ultimate gift in life? Whatever that is, whatever you want it to be. What is your greatest gift type thing? You know, what is something that you'd be like, yo, if I want to have LeBron's physical gifts and skill set. And so if you sacrifice a cousin certain things, you will be 6'8", physically get to like LeBron, skill set, like you will have his skill set on the court.
So you're asking if there's a gift that we would want.
Yeah, in that
Is sense. There something that we could get that would meet that level? Okay.
Yeah.
So for you, you're saying LeBron's like...
No. What I'm saying is I'm trying to figure out what I sacrifice a family member first. That's tough, man. It's like... I don't know. I feel like the reality of me is saying no. For the fun of the question, yes, fuck it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, of course the human in me just like, yo, at the end of the day, it is what it is person. You gotta figure this shit out type person. And you gotta live with it, and if you wanna get better at something, you just gotta get better at it.
Right.
But for the fun of the question, yeah, let's sacrifice a cousin or two. You know? Maybe even three.
What's the gift, though? What's the gift that's going to get you to do it? Like, what's the one wish, essentially? If we're talking like this is an all-powerful being, you rubbed a lamp or whatever, genie comes out, and they're just like, I'll grant you one wish, but I'm a sadistic genie, so to grant this one wish, I also have to, like, take some stuff from your family.
Man, this is where it gets tough.
This is the equivalent exchange of it all. You get your gifts. But it's also going to cost your family member something. Somebody's going to have to suffer. What would it take?
This is why it's tough for me, because if I go, I was thinking about, like, all right, being hands down the funniest comedian alive. And that's across all boards. That's on platforms. That's on stand-up.
Yep.
I'm world-renowned. Everybody finds me funny. Not a certain demographic. Not a certain race. The world is like, yo, funniest guy on the planet, hands down.
This is already a Twilight Zone episode. But keep going.
But I feel like that one might not make me happy. I feel like it can backfire easily. People having fake friends, people being fake around me, doesn't necessarily make me famous.
Yeah.
I can end up being the funniest person, but... It's just like, yeah, I'm funny, you're a comedian, but on stage, I don't know. Well, I guess that would be the wish, to be on stage too. But I can also see, I just feel like when you wish for something like that, like you said, some type of karma has to come with it to where I'm going to be fucked somewhere else.
I was going to say, what if you get bored doing comedy because you're like, whatever I do, people will find it funny.
Yes, it's like...
There's
like
no challenge.
Because I think you just made a great point. Thank you for making a great point there. This is where it'll suck for me. As a comedian, sometimes... finding the funny is the best part of comedy.
Right.
Right? A joke that's not funny yet, but it has potential. So you work on it and you're like, dog, now it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you get, if you're always funny, you don't even know what's really funny.
So right.
You, like to you, to them it's funny. They're going to laugh at it always. But I'm like, y'all motherfuckers, yeah, what's going on y'all? Yo, he said, what's going on y'all? It's like, yo, I can't even get, I'm just talking regular now. And y'all find that funny? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the backfire. That's the karma of this. It's like literally me just saying what I'm saying right now, people are laughing at.
Yeah.
They're not even just saying, they're not even enjoying the conversation or getting the jewels. They'd be like, oh, yo, man, what you got to do is, you know, you got to live for your family. He said he got to live for his family. And I'm like, no, you got to, no, that's not funny. Yeah. That's. So
yeah, it feels like you would never be happy with your own work after that.
Right,
that'd be tough.
Yes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Twilight Zone episode, man.
Rob,
I mean, I can't think of a family member that's screwed me over so bad that I would sacrifice them for something. You know what I mean? Like, but again, if there's something that like would the one thing that would like make me think about it, and I was just like, what's the one wish that would like really make me think about it? I don't remember where I heard this, but like when people are just like, oh, if you got a genie or whatever, what would your wish be? I feel like the one wish I like, whatever I'm buying, I reach into my pocket and the right amount of money comes out. So it's just like, it's not like it's a limit of money. Like, oh, I've got $1 billion in the bank. It's just like, no matter what I'm buying, I reach in my pocket. There's a wad of bills that equals out exactly
anytime
what
you want. Anything. So even if you want to go on vacation,
yep.
It's just like, all right, cool. What is this? $3,500? Cool. Boom. $3,500 just goes there.
Yep.
But you're trying to be slick.
I'm trying to be like, I can't run out. You can't take it from me.
Yeah. There's no taxing. There's no
it's just, yeah. Hey, I got it. You do have to be a little careful because if you spend outside your means, I guess you could have like, the IRS showing up going like, hey, where's all this coming from? Like, what are you into?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, this happened to me this weekend. You could go places that are just like, oh, we're card only. We don't take cash, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
I went to a restaurant and I had cash. And I was like, which I don't usually.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, fuck it. Like, I'll buy this in cash. And they're like, oh, we actually don't take cash.
But that's what the pandemic did. The pandemic changed it to whatever. Like, they didn't want to accept cash because they felt like it was dirty at some point.
Yep.
And then they were just like, all right, card. And then now everything's just turning into everybody. I mean, I do a card and stuff like that with my stuff now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's literally turning into that now. And it's
tough, man.
Yeah, it's tough. All right. I guess the second question isn't necessarily...
I mean, I actually have a story for that.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So this is Ice's second question. What is the nastiest thing you've ever drank?
So I think I've told this story a few times. I don't know if I've told it on the podcast. So forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But I used to work at a video rental store. We had like coolers and stuff at the checkout, at the register. I probably told you this story, Keenan.
Mm.
But, you know, it was stocked with drinks. We had like Monster Energy drinks and like Life Water. And like that vitamin water, whatever it was called.
Mm.
You know. Kind of look at like Gatorade bottles, like black and white label. I forget exactly. I think it's Life Water, something like that. They had different flavors.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. So I show up for a shift one day, and somebody had bought one for themselves, it seemed like. Somebody else running the register had bought one and left it behind the counter. Didn't look like they had drank it or anything. Looked like it was still like unsnapped. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So our manager's just like, oh, hey, somebody bought one of these, but it's just been sitting out. Anybody want it?
Mm.
I was like, yeah, I'll take it. I was a broke college student at the time. I didn't have any money. So anytime anybody offers up free food, I'm like, I will take it.
Yep.
So I crack the thing, open it up, hear the snap, take a chug. And then there's something in my mouth that's not liquid. Like it's like jelly. And I spit it back into the bottle. I hadn't looked. There was like a lily pad of mold that had grown over the top that was exactly the diameter of the bottle, just like hiding underneath the cap. And I'm so glad that I didn't swallow that, just like, and I to this day, I think it was vitamin water. I don't touch it because I'm just, I'm scarred by the fact that I almost just drank like seriously like like a half dollar size, like just circle of mold just sitting there. I don't, because that's
shit.
The thing, like who knows how long it had been out there. I just took it because it was free.
Yeah.
I thought like, oh great, this Life Water will get me through my shift or whatever. This is, you know, some hydrating energy. No, it was just a bunch of gross mold, and I spit that back out. Definitely the grossest thing I ever had in my mouth. Hard stop.
Yeah, pause. the nastiest thing I've ever drank was, I used to love milk. I drink a glass of milk. I used to drink milk like out of the fucking gallon carton.
Oh,
like,
I would chug.
Yeah,
sure.
I would chug it. Which now I think about it, is fucking disgusting.
Yep.
But I drank spoiled milk not knowing it was spoiled. and it was like a fucking milkshake. And when you know milk's not supposed to be like a thick-ass, chunky milkshake, I just remember, didn't look at the expiration date, opened the gallon up, didn't smell it, just like, oh, I was talking to my brother, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
I was just like, what the fuck?
Oh, God.
And it was just, the consistency was so bad that since that day, well, I don't drink that type of milk anymore at all.
Yeah.
But since that day, it was hard for me to ever drink like even like milk or chocolate milk after that.
I totally believe that.
And I was just like, ugh, done for.
Yeah. That's rough. Did you get sick? Did you throw up?
No, I didn't get sick, luckily.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because I think I might only swallow a little bit, and the rest of it is just like, it just dripped out of my mouth disgustingly. Yeah, it's just, ugh.
Yeah.
That's why, also why I can't fuck with eggnog.
I get it.
The consistency of eggnog kind of reminds me of that a little bit. Just, I can't do eggnog at all.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So we get a few more questions, we get up out of here. This is a fun one. In a one-arm sword fight, who are you taking? Tengen or Domas?
At this point, obviously, I think we still have a lot to see from Domas. We haven't necessarily seen him get, like, really active.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give it to Tengen. Yeah. If only because, like, I think one-armed even, this dude is washing Domas.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. I think that he takes him out no problem. I mean, we haven't seen him really, really get into it, but the fact that, like, Bose, like, pummeled him.
Yeah.
Like, one arm down, he got put on his ass by Domas and Daida's body. Tengen's out here fighting an upper moon, one-armed, and holding his own. I think he takes him out. No problem.
When you asked this question, I was just like, Rob must be fucking around. He must just be like, let's just have a little fun with
this. Yeah, let's just talk. Let's have a little chat.
There's no way.
None.
There's no way. Tengen has beaten most other characters with both arms, skill set-wise, and his ninja skill set, he's beating them. Not yet. Yeah, this is he's watching this dude. This is gonna be he getting KO'd, bro. Domas is getting KO'd. Easy work style, both one arm. He getting smoked out of there, bro. I don't think Domas beats any character on fucking Demon Slayer. I think Zenitsu and Nosuke, I think all of them take him out.
I could see that.
Yeah,
he would definitely stand a better chance, I think, against some of the younger kids, some of the up and comers. But like, it'd be tough. They're all very good, and he is. I mean, maybe it's just because I think he's an asshole, but like, I don't think. Yeah, I think he'd be hard pressed to beat anybody on Demon Slayer for sure.
All right, let's do this last question. Were any of these shocks and twists of the story? Did any of these twists in these stories actually shock you at all? For me, yeah, I was not expecting the King Bosey twist at all. Had no clue. I thought it was weird that the devil came out of his dad. But even when they put him in the ice and smoothied him out, I didn't think that's what they were doing. I thought he was like, all right. I thought it was a legit, yo, I want my second son to be king. So this is what you're going to do. Since I'm strong, he's going to drink me. He's just going to get strong. I didn't think he was going to be him.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
No.
And then the flip side, I mean, once they did the mirror, and they didn't do the mirror reveal yet, but it said who's the strongest, and he looked at him and kind of like laughed. I was like, oh, that's Boji for sure.
Yeah.
It's most likely Boji.
Yeah.
But before that, I didn't think that was going to be the case either. He was going to be the strongest.
No.
So both of those twists kind of was just like, we were both like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I knew this show was, people were saying this show was good for a reason. And I think these two twists starting off are the reason why people are like, yo, just watch this show, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just going off him just having to get stronger without these twists, it'll probably be a fun show. He's a like I said, he's a cuddly protagonist.
Yeah.
But now that there's some stakes now, that's just yeah. So I was a little shocked by some of these twists. How about you?
Yeah, the King Bosu one is the one that really took me by surprise. And that was even with Ice coming in last week being like, oh, I watched ahead a little bit and this dude is really trash. I didn't expect this level of trash. I thought, you know, even coming into it, I wasn't just like, is he going to try to take his son's body? I kind of had maybe an inkling when it looked like they brought in a phoenix because like their whole thing is resurrection. I was like, what's going on with this? But no, I did not see that coming at all, especially like because he was so good to Boji.
Right.
You know what I mean? And seemingly cared for his son.
Yeah, train my son. Make sure he gets up to training for him and stuff like that. It was like it seemed like he played it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised by that. Again, I'm going to point out, I called the Kage thing. I felt very good about, like, got him. He was in the bag the whole time. He was the one that threw the daggers, saved him from the poison meat, which sounds like he probably would have been fine from anyway, because he can just eat poison and
right.
other dangerous things and, you know, make it. But overall, that was surprising. I was also a little surprised and disappointed to find out Apios is probably not Team Boji.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Because he was cool, like, especially when he jumped down and was like, Domas, I will fucking fight you right now because you are letting Daida beat up on Boji.
Right.
And I thought he was, like, really down to help him out.
Yeah.
And it turns out, no, he sucks. So, and I mean, maybe we'll still see. Maybe that's more complicated than we realize. But, yeah, those two twists. And I was also surprised by the mirror reveal that Boji's the strongest. Like, I thought it would get there.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would be, like, right off the bat.
Right.
This quickly. It'd be like, oh, if the mirror says it, why would the mirror lie?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right. That's it for the question portion of the show. Let's get into our scores, likes, and dislikes. We're going to go with Ice first. He sent me his points.
Yep.
And his score. He said, this is what Ice is saying. He said, I like this stretch of episodes better than I'm liking Boji crying take two. Goddamn. I like the stretch of episodes better, and I'm liking Boji crying, he said it's wrong. I'm liking Boji's crying ass a little more, and I'm interested in seeing where our new most trash dad ever candidate Boji does in his new son's body. Overall score, he gives it a 6,600.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, Boji crying, his crying doesn't necessarily bother me, so I can't. I'm not mad at it, and I think it's going to start to shut down a lot more sooner than did My Hero.
Mm-hmm.
You want to give yours? Or you want me,
sure. Okay. I can give mine. I liked a lot about this. I'm trying to think of something that I would change or something that I would have notes on, but I'm honestly just enjoying the ride. You saw, especially when Kage started making the food, I was just like, oh, there's that Studio Ghibli making food budget. Food and Studio Ghibli, like, I know we've had, like, our mixed reactions and reviews of Studio Ghibli films, but their food always looks so delicious.
Yeah.
I always want to eat that food. I saw that Kage making breakfast. I'm like, I instantly want, like, eggs and toast. Anyway, I got distracted, probably because it's almost dinner time and I'm hungry. But I like the stretch episodes a lot. We said last time that it felt like the first four were table setting, and we're starting to get into that, into the real, you know, meat of the action and what the show's really about. You know, I like the characters a lot. It's building a huge world that I'm really enjoying. It's hard. I don't have any negatives at this point. There's nothing that's jumping out at me of like, oh man, but you know, I really would have wished they did this differently. I think everybody's really cool. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'll give it a 7,500.
Okay.
I'm keeping it back a little bit, if only because I feel like I need to give this room to grow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot went on in these episodes. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of flipping with characters, like, mm-hmm. seeing characters are actually, you know, alive and not necessarily either whatever's going on. This was a great stretch of episodes, I think.
Yeah.
These four, I liked the first four, and I think this progression got even better. Like I said, the twist got me more intrigued. Boji's splitting that rock. We don't even know if he actually split it or not. I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah.
But they're saying he is the strongest. So now I want to see him get active. We know he's incredibly defensively. We've seen that. He's literally Goku Ultra Instinct or even better.
Yeah.
On that end, anyways. I'm with you. The food budget is always looking good.
Always looking good. Even that bad food when he, like, just let the whole egg in there. I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, I'd try it.
Because even with some of the fight scenes, like, you know, like when they had Boji dodging, I was like, the animation looked cool. The way they did it, it looked pretty cool. I'm all in. I'm with Rob. I can't give it a super high score because I need room to grow. And I was going to say around 7,400, 74, 75. I'll give it 75. I'll go with 75 with you. Well, I'll be different, 74. And, but it's for that reason. It's like, we have how many more episodes left? Like 20 episodes, like not 20 episodes, like maybe like 16 or so.
Something like, yeah, I think there's 23 in the season, I want to say.
Yeah, so we still got quite a few episodes left, and we both need room for them to grow. And I can see this, if it's going the way I think it's going to go, this could end around in the 8,000 somewhere.
Easily.
And that'll be one of the highest animes that we've seen. And
in a while.
In a while, yeah.
And I mean,
and I would say it's not like the protagonist that I'm used to.
Oh, your mic just got out. Sorry, technical difficulties. We're back.
I would say, it's not like he's not like the protagonist that I'm used to when it comes to this heavy action. Let's get with it. Let's just fuck people up. Let's get after the action. I guess Boji does kind of want to get after the action somewhat, but he's on the softer side, and
yeah,
this is a little bit different for me, and I'm liking it. So
yeah,
all y'all just be like, Genie just with that action all the time. Shut your asses up, man. Not all the time, bro.
Yeah, I mean, because if he had the means to do it, Boji would be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he'd be a dope king too.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is there a way, after all this happens, will he be able to get his senses back?
Maybe. I wouldn't. And that's, I think, a tricky thing where it's just like, I don't feel like they necessarily need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I think if he gets his strength, he can still be cool and be powerful for who he is, rather than being like, oh, the only way he can be powerful is if he, you know, has his hearing back. I think it would be, I would be a little bit disappointed with that choice, but not like it would ruin the show for me.
Gotcha.
I kind of want him to just be dope as he is. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, as his own character. I get that.
Yeah, be you.
Yeah, be you. Be you.
Be you, Boji.
That's what this is all about, man. Boji, be you.
Yeah.
All right, man. So that's it. That's it for the show, man. We're gonna drop our what's the names? Brendan didn't give us his likes and dislikes, but fuck him. Who cares? All right.
We know he likes the show.
He likes it a lot. Brendan produces on all social media. Ice.McGowan on all social media. Go ahead, Rob.
I'm gonna shout out an artist on Instagram. This guy's name is Dominic Glover. He's actually got a pretty big following. He doesn't necessarily need my help, but his art's really good. It looks like he's done some art for Marvel, Disney, DC, Dynamite, and Hulu. He does commissions, so if you're into that, I think I actually tracked down this guy because I saw an ad. He does his commissions for like super cheap. He does like he puts his artwork out there for very affordable prices, and he's got great stuff. Like I'm looking at the first couple pieces on his grid there, or whatever. He's got Rengoku, he's got Luffy, Monkey D. Luffy, he's got some Attack on Titan stuff. So Dominic Glover on Instagram, spelled exactly the way it sounds, the Dominic Glover on Instagram. Check him out.
All right. Keenan Baker on every single thing, KEENAN Baker and everything. Animation, SHUN on every single thing. Hit that patreon.com/animation, SHUN, so we can get Rob this cut. Y'all remember, we're at 81 Patreons right now, man. So we need a few more of y'all. We need about 19 more of y'all, right?
We're getting there, yep.
19 more of you guys, man. Get up on there, man. Even if you get on 19 and you go back and you take a duel for a month and go back, man. But let's get it to 100. So we get Rob this cup, man.
We're almost there.
All right, man. So next week we'll be watching, we'll be covering MFKZ, Motherfuckers, what's it called?
Yeah, it's a movie on Netflix. Check it out.
So I'm sure a lot of you guys heard of it. It has Vince Staples in it. You said
RZA's in it.
RZA's in it. Danny Trejo.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's got some key players in there. I've heard mixed reviews about it, so we're gonna see what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So we'll see you next week, and thank you for tuning in to another episode. Oh,
and it's the greatest.
Oh, and we're the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
There we go. Thanks to Sir Spectacular.
That was
he gave us the reminder. I would have let
okay,
that go
by. Yeah, yeah. He was like, yeah. There you go. Thank you, sir. All right, so we'll see y'all next week, and thank you for tuning in to another episode. Of animation, we out.
Peace.
And so anime was solved forever.